4. I'd like to read the same passage we did this morning, verses 35 through verse 41. Mark chapter 4. Begin reading with verse 35. In the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? In this passage, again, we preach from this morning. We're told of the Lord and his apostles crossing the Sea of Galilee and a miracle that the Lord performed in calming a storm by just standing and speaking a few words. As we saw this morning, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this event. However, Mark is the only one there in verse 36 who records, and there were also with him other little ships. We want to take the thought of the message from those words this evening. Those words remind us that you and I do not have a monopoly, nor do God's people have a monopoly on the storms and the struggles and the difficulties of life. Those words remind us that there are others in all of our storms and all of our struggles and all of our difficulties. There are others to be considered. But how often the response of people in a storm or facing difficulties, their response is, What have I done to deserve this? Or why is this happening to me? You see, people are very prone to think that their burden is heavier than anyone else's. And no one has the troubles that they have. As we said this morning, many times we need to get out on the deck of the boat and look out and see that there are other little ships as well. We're not the only ones. Many ships are plowing their way through the storm-tossed waters. And we see that these other ships, we don't know how many passengers they had. We don't know what cargo they were carrying. But they had a story. Each one of those ships has a story. Each one has passengers. Each one has a crew. Each one has some cargo. And again, there's more than one ship in the sea. We're not by ourselves. So we want to speak this evening on the subject of beyond self. There are other little ships beyond self. Selfishness is a real problem. It's a real problem that we all have. There isn't any one of us that do not have a problem of selfishness. Selfishness is not a new problem. It's an old problem. It's as old as Adam and Eve when they fell in the garden. When Eve sinned in the garden, the devil told her, "Ye shall be as gods." He appealed to her inward self. He appealed to her desire of self-elevation. He appealed to her desire for self-improvement, for making her life better than it was. And the truth is, it couldn't get better than it was. And selfishness really is the essence of depravity. It's the essence of depravity. I believe behind every sin is the sin of selfishness. Every sin, no matter what it is, you can trace it to self. So selfishness is a problem. Selfishness is an old problem. But of course, it is also a modern day problem. And I believe it's a problem that is growing every single day. I don't believe there's perhaps ever been a time, I know there hasn't in my lifetime ever been a time when people are more selfish than they are now. And I'm talking about society as a whole. We're all born selfish. But today, the way children are raised, they are trained to even be more selfish than how they're born. Humanism, which dominates and is the prevailing philosophy of the modern era, and humanism's nothing new, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament as well. But humanism unabashedly elevates man above God. That's the height of selfishness. And humanism teaches the preeminence of man. It teaches the autonomy of man. The preeminence and the autonomy of self. We live in a society and culture that is absolutely saturated with selfishness. In fact, self-absorption, self-glorification, self-gratification, self-esteem, self-service. We hear a lot today about self-service. We like that. Self-service, self-will, self-obedience, which really is just lawlessness, self-desires, self-seeking, self-sufficiency. We live in a culture that feeds on selfishness. We live in a me-focused society. We live in a very reward-oriented society. When people do what they do to get something, what's in it for me? What do I get? That's why you all the time have buy one, get one free. Something free. What do I get? We live in a very reward-oriented society. We live in a society that worships personal rights. Except, that is, it worships personal rights when those personal rights are ours. But when those personal rights are someone else's, most aren't too concerned. But when it's their own personal right, then of course there's a big concern. But selfishness is something that we very readily see in other people. It's not hard to see selfishness in other people. But we don't see it in ourselves many times. You go to Walmart. I'm not advertising for Walmart. But you drive into the Walmart parking lot. You go past the front doors. You drive past the front doors. Pedestrians are going to the parking lot from the store, from the parking lot to the store. And how often we get upset when they walk in front of us. There's a disruption. Thinking, all these people, they think they're so important. They just walk right out in front of my car. Well, we eventually make our way through the chaos, and we find a parking spot, and now it's our turn to walk into the store. And as we get into that marked-off area, and we begin to crawl, we see a car approaching, and what do? We step out in front of the car. And then and the car is coming and we think, huh, doesn't he know that pedestrians have the right of way? I mean, that's the way we are. We're selfish. We're a selfish people, but we see it in other people. And we cannot see it in ourselves. And it's, again, usually very, very evident in other people. It's very evident in children. Anybody can see the selfishness in a child. Well, in most cases, adults are no less selfish than children. They just have better ways of hiding it. They have learned what is acceptable and what isn't, and we have different ways of covering our selfishness. But getting back to what we said in the beginning, every sin comes back to selfishness. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, we're told that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then in verse 2, the very first thing that is mentioned is, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And that is the leading factor to perilous times. That is the root problem. People are lovers of themselves. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, one of the marks of an apostate, there are three of them in that verse, that is three marks. One of the marks of an apostate is that they are self-willed. They are self-willed. One of the qualifications in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 of a pastor is that he be not self-willed. Selfishness is a problem. Selfishness, again, is an old problem. Selfishness is a modern problem. Man has not improved. Man is not getting any better. Man is not becoming less selfish. In fact, it's getting worse. Selfishness is a natural sin. It's natural. It's natural for you and I to be selfish. It's something that we inherited. It is something that we inherited from Adam and Eve, and it has become a part of our sin nature. Therefore, selfishness comes easy. It's easy to be selfish. It's very easy. It's not difficult. It's not difficult to think of self. There isn't a one of us here that have raised children or that are raising children that you had to teach your children to be selfish. You do not have to sit down and give them a lesson on how to be selfish. They came out of the womb as selfish savages. That's how they were born. They were born selfish. And you had to teach them how to do what? To share. Because a child is not going to share on its own. Not on a consistent basis. Oh, maybe every now and then. And that's usually for its own benefit. Because again, they're selfish. They're selfish. When that baby is screaming at the top of its lungs at 3 a.m, it's not thinking of you. That child is selfish. And we're all born that way. We're born selfish. So it's a natural thing to be selfish. It is something that comes very easy for us. And we're told in our society today, well, you need to love yourself. You need to love yourself. You need to have a certain amount of self-esteem. And I believe that's true. But I also believe that you and I do not need to be told to love ourselves. You ever notice the Lord never tells us to love ourselves. Never. Because the Lord knew that we would love ourselves. In Matthew 19 and verse 19, he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? Thyself. He knew that we would love ourselves, and there is a love for ourselves that is not sinful. We love ourselves, therefore when we're hungry, we eat. We love ourselves, so when we're thirsty, we drink. We love ourselves, so when we're not feeling well, we try to get ourselves to feel better. Because I love myself, I try to get out of the way of oncoming traffic. Because we have a love for ourselves. That's not a sinful love. It's a natural love. And I believe it's an expected love. God expected us to have that love for ourselves. And therefore, he said, love your neighbor as thyself. But we eat, we drink, we take care of ourselves. We do these things because we're concerned for ourselves. And again, that's not wrong. We do these things out of self-preservation, and that's not wrong. We do these things because we love ourselves. That's natural to love ourselves. But just like everything else that is natural, because of our human nature, what do? We take it to the extreme. And as soon as we take it to the extreme, it's now sin. And that's where selfishness comes in. Again, the Lord expects us to love ourselves, or he wouldn't have said what he said in Matthew 19, in verse 19. All are egocentric at the core. Every one of us. The law of man's fallen nature is that he will strive to be the center of the universe. That's the law of man's fallen, depraved nature. Therefore, it is not difficult for you and I to get the attitude that we are the center, maybe not of the whole world, but we are the center of our world. However small our world is, it is very natural for us to think we're it. We're the center of our world. But when we think that way, we're out of place. And when we think that way, our world is out of balance. And the tremors that will follow will destroy. It'll destroy something. Now, nothing is so devastating to human happiness as selfishness. Nothing. Human selfishness destroys happiness. Selfishness destroys human relationships. Nothing is so devastating to human relationships. Nothing is so devastating to marriage as the sin of selfishness. Selfishness is a devastating thing. Nothing is so devastating to our relationship with God as the sin of selfishness. No indulgence is going to destroy us more than selfishness. You say, oh, I disagree. What about drink? It all gets back to selfishness. It all comes back to selfishness. Nothing is more devastating to our spiritual nature as selfishness. Nothing is more devastating to our spiritual growth and our spiritual advantage as selfishness. Again, let's go back to 2 Timothy. We made reference to this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read verses 2 through 5. And notice the things that proceed out of. In verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I believe everything else mentioned proceeds out of that fact that men shall be lovers of their own selves. Because men shall be lovers of their own selves, they are going to be covetous. They begin to covet. They begin to desire. They're boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. A selfish person is very unthankful because why? Because they deserve it. Well, if you deserve it, you don't need to be thankful. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And I believe everything, each one of these things goes back to, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfishness is devastating to spirituality. It always has been, and it always will be. Now, in our society, there is a fixation. There is an obsession with self. And the devastation of that is everywhere. Because we're so selfish, everything in our society is falling apart, is being destroyed right before our eyes because we're selfish. It's almost impossible now to elect a man to office that's going to stand for much of anything because they're selfish. They're not looking out for the country. There aren't very many patriots today. Very, very few. We've got a lot of politicians, but there are very few patriots. Very few. Because they only think of themselves. They only think of how they're going to keep their position, how they're going to get reelected. That's selfishness. Most of them could care less about the country. But how can I get reelected? That's why they're always following the opinion polls. And in some cases, they'll just do whatever they please because they're selfish. And again, everywhere we turn, we see we live in a society that is addicted to self. There is an addiction to that which is self-pleasing. Everyone wants to have a good time. Everyone wants to be pleased. And that's where we get the philosophy today, well, as long as they're happy. Nothing could be further from the truth. Happiness is not the end all. And that is why there's such a great pursuit of happiness today. Because of selfishness. And as we preached a few months ago, happiness is not something we are to pursue anyway. It's a result of. Happiness is a result of living right. Happiness is a result of living close to God. You do what God tells you to do, you'll be happy. You don't have to pursue it. You just pursue what's right. Selfishness is a desire that can never, ever be satisfied. Selfishness is never satisfied. The desire to get ahead of others, that's selfishness. The desire to be first, that's selfishness. Again, there's the desire, there's the race to get to the closest parking spot. Why does one person who doesn't have handicap license plates park in a spot that's reserved for handicap? Because they think they're too good to walk an extra 10 steps. They're selfish. I wish it was Christian to put an index card in their windshield with a little message about selfishness. They're selfish. The individual who parks in two spots or three spots is selfish. Either that or they don't know how to drive, one of the two. There are selfish people everywhere we go. You go in a grocery store, you get run over by grocery carts all the time. Why? Because people are selfish. Because they don't care. People don't care. Because they're selfish. They want to be first. They have that desire to get their own way. And they have the desire to get others to give them their own way. And they have many tricks on how to get their husband or how to get their wife or their children or parents. How to get my own way. That's selfishness. Well, that my husband's not going to give me what I want, so I'm going to give him the silent treatment. Grow up! My wife's not going to give me what I want, so I'm going to give her the silent treatment. Grow up. That's selfishness. That's all that is. The manipulation, the art of manipulation. People have learned to manipulate. Children are experts at manipulation. Adults are good at manipulation. They've learned it. And people have enabled them, and people have allowed them to manipulate. They're selfish. The pouting. Well, I'll just pout and sulk, and eventually I'll get my own way. You know what I used to get when I pouted and sulked? The same thing that people need to get today. It wasn't tolerated. It wasn't tolerated as children. And if you tolerate it in your children, you'll have adults that pout and sulk. It's selfishness. It's all selfishness. I'm upset about something, so I'm just going to turn everybody else off in my world and just turn inward. That's selfish. You say, well, that's my personality. Your personality is not very good. You have a personality flaw. You can say it's your personality all you want to, but you've got a flaw that you need to work on. Because you can't just go shut out everybody else because you're having a bad day. That's selfish. You can't just not talk to anybody because you don't feel like it. That's selfish. And again, we would punish our children for that. But somehow in adults, well, that's just the way they are. Well, they need to get over it. And maybe it's about time somebody tells them they need to get over it. It can't be tolerated. So there's all kinds of ways of manifesting selfishness. The desire to be the center of focus is selfishness. Notice in Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through verse 37. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we so desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy glory. Selfishness. That's all that is. Being selfish. Whether we are absorbed with self-glorification, whether we are absorbed with self-gratification or self-esteem or self-will or self-desires or self-seeking or self-sufficiency, or even self-hatred, or even self-pity. You see, the individual that just so focused on hating themselves and pitying themselves is still selfish. Don't you see, all of those things are still focused on one thing. Self. I've had people for years tell me how much they hate themselves. First of all, I don't believe it. And it's just another form of selfishness. And people will say, oh, I just hate myself. I'm so rotten. Agree with them. Agree with them. You are rotten. What they want you to do is disagree with them. Oh, you're not that bad. You've got X amount of good qualities. And then they'll say, like what? They want you to list them. They're selfish. So when someone says, oh, I just hate myself, I'm no good, agree with them. That's what the Bible says anyway. There is no good. But that's not what they want. They'll get angry. Because, again, just like all of us, they're selfish. We try to teach our children that life does not center upon their wants. Some adults need to learn that as well. Life does not center upon our wants. It does not center upon our needs. and it does not center upon our desires. Nor does life revolve around our faults. Nor does it revolve around our defects or our weaknesses. The truth is, we're really not all that important. And we need to just get over ourselves many times. There's the old joke, how many narcissists does it take to change a light bulb? One. But the whole world has to revolve around him. That's true. That's true. And we live in a society of narcissism. A life centered upon self will never be a life immersed in God. Never will. One who is centered upon self will not serve the Lord. They will not live a life that is going to glorify the Lord. Each one of us sets our hearts on that which we consider to be important. And that allegiance determines the direction of our life. It determines the content of our life. So selfishness is a real problem. But God's people must learn to think out of the box of self. All through the scriptures stress the opposite of selfishness. All through the scriptures, we are told to deny ourselves. The truth is, our life has to revolve around something. Every one of us, our life revolves around something. But if it revolves around self, our life is out of kilter. Our life is out of order. We have to recognize, we have to root out obsessive emotions. Why is there so much emphasis today put on feelings? And we're not discounting feelings. We all have feelings. But why is there so much emphasis today put upon feelings? He hurt my feelings. That was hurtful. That hurt my feelings. I was offended. And on and on and on and on it goes. Because people are selfish. They're selfish. And most people whose feelings are hurt so easily, they hurt more people's feelings than anybody. But they never stop and consider whose feelings they may hurt. We need to look at our attitudes. Our attitudes, selfish. We need to look at our desires. Our desires, selfish. We need to look at our ways of acting. Are our ways of acting selfish? Because again, the Christian life is a life lived in the direction from self to God. Not vice versa. So, Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus said that we could not follow him unless we deny self. Which tells me immediately that self is the problem. Self is a real problem. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28, we'll not turn there to save time. And also in chapter 23, verses 11 and 12, the apostles were arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord did not tell them that greatness was something that could not be achieved. But he did tell them that it could only be achieved by denying self and ministering to others. By denying self and thinking upon others. So may we always be mindful. May we always consider in all of our situations, in all of our conditions, in all of our circumstances, that there are other little ships. We're not the only boat at sea. In every situation, remember, there are other little ships. In every one of your feelings, remember, there are other little ships. When you want to draw within yourself and not speak to anybody, you need to stop and remember, you know, that might offend someone. Better consider that. That might offend someone that may need you that day. So don't do that. Be mature. Don't be selfish. We need to ask ourselves, how interested are we in the interest of others? How interested are we in others? That'll determine how well we listen to other people. How concerned are we about their needs? How concerned are we about the desires of others? And perhaps a good way to answer that question, a truthful way to answer that question, would be to examine our prayer life concerning others. How often do we pray for others? And we'll take it a little further. How often do we pray for others that do not immediately concern us? That's not going to affect our life. We can all pray for others that has a direct impact upon our lives. But if that's the only people you pray for, isn't that selfish? Well, I believe it is. It's very selfish. We should be able to pray for anybody. And we'll be able to if we're not selfish. How often do we pray for others that do not have a direct impact upon our lives? We have many on our prayer list that's not going to impact directly anyone's life here. But you still pray. You still pray for them. The only people you can pray for are those who have a direct impact upon your life. That's selfish praying. And I'm afraid many times many of our prayers are very selfish. Even when we're serving the Lord, we can get very selfish. We can begin to think like Elijah, that we're the only one serving the Lord. And God had to remind Elijah, you're not the only one. I've got 7,000 others that are serving me too. And every now and then, God has to remind each one of us, you're not the only one. You're not it. You're not the only one. And God has to remind all of us of that because we have a tendency to carry self-love to an extreme. But there are others. And we need to always consider others. We need to always consider, how does my behavior, how are my actions going to affect others? Don't get so overwhelmed in your own problem, in your own situation, in your own circumstance, that you no longer have the ability to think of how your acting may impact someone else. Because that's selfish. But we tend to think, well, that's not selfish because I've got this problem. No, it's selfish. No matter what the situation is, there's still other little ships. Notice in Romans 15, verses 1 through 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We that are strong, we that are spiritually strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Well, what if I'm having a bad day? We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's what it says. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Please your neighbor. Edify your neighbor, uplift your neighbor, encourage them. Well, I feel bad and I want them to feel bad with me. Encourage your neighbor. It's selfish not to. Verse 3, for even Christ, he's our example, please not himself, but is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, he died for us. Therefore, we henceforth ought to live not for ourselves, but for him which died for us. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. People say, I have my rights, I have my liberty. That may be so. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In other words, there are others. Think about others. Do not get stuck on yourself. No matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the storm, no matter what the struggle, don't get stuck on yourself. There's always other little ships. Always. If we get stuck on ourselves, something's going to be destroyed. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If this were followed, there would be no problems in our churches. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. A lot of strife would be taken care of were it not for selfishness. A lot of vainglory disappear if it weren't for selfishness. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. They're better. Look not every man on his own things. It doesn't mean that we're never to be concerned about our own things. It doesn't mean that we're not to take responsibility, but we're not to be swallowed up, so swallowed up with our own things, our own stuff, that we fail to consider others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 20 and verse 21. Paul said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul is writing from prison to the church of Philippi. And he's saying, I can't find anyone who will naturally care for you. Why? Because they're selfish. Verse 21, for all seek their own. Not the things which are Christ Jesus. That's why it's so hard today, many places, to get anything done in a church, because all seek their own and not the things of Christ. That's why so many people today can say, well, I don't have time, because they're engulfed with self. In Acts chapter 20, and we'll close. It's one of our favorite portions of Scripture, referred to it many times. Verse 22, Paul says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Again, he's saying, I don't know what's going to happen in Jerusalem, but I do know this, that the Lord has already told me that if I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to have bonds and afflictions. How many of us would have gone? How many of us would have gone? But none of these things, that refers back to bonds and afflictions, move me. That is, that's not what I base my decision on. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Selfishness is a horrible sin. Selfishness is devastating. And we cannot overestimate the importance of denying ourselves. And that's why the Lord said, no man can be my disciple except he deny himself. You think about the Ten Commandments. I thought about this a couple of weeks ago when I heard someone preach that six of the ten refer to man's duty to man. And that's true. Six of the ten do. The first four refer to us and God directly. And then he made the statement, the reason the majority of the commandments speak to man and man's relationship is because of selfishness. And I began to think about that. And you look at every one of those commandments, and every single one of them, not just six of them, but every one of them goes back to the sin of selfishness. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If that's not selfishness, I don't know what is. Every one of the Ten Commandments addresses this problem of selfishness. You think about the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And the bulk of that sermon if you look at it, is a rebuke of selfishness. A rebuke of selfishness. To love our neighbor as ourself, to love our enemies. All through the scriptures, selfishness is rebuked. And that's why we say many times, and it's true, our biggest problem, and that's true with all of us tonight, is not the person sitting next to us, not the person sitting behind us, not the person sitting in front of us. It's no one. Our biggest problem is self. That is our biggest problem. In fact, I believe self is a bigger problem than Satan. Because the truth is, Satan wouldn't have any power in our lives if it weren't for self. Self is a huge problem. And it's a problem that we have to deal with every day, and that's why Paul said, I die daily. We have to do something with self every single day. And as we look at our lives, we see that, what is it that gets in my way every day? I mean, there is not a day that goes by where Dan Gordon does not get in his own way. That is our biggest obstacle every single day. And that is why every day we have to learn, I've got to deal with my biggest problem. And my biggest problem is me. My biggest problem is not a church member. My biggest problem is me. Your biggest problem, same thing. It's ourselves. We have to deal with ourselves. We try and try and try to teach our children not to be selfish. And we need to teach our children that, but we had better as adults. We need to look at our own childish behavior. We've refined it a little bit, but still the same thing. We're selfish. God help us to be a self-denying people. People that always considers others. Even when we are as low as we can possibly get and things are just miserable for us, stop and think about others. Stop and pray for someone else. Get your mind off yourself and think about somebody else. You look at, and I know this is going to offend some folks, but you look at most, if not all, you look at most people that are manic depressants, they are selfish. They are selfish individuals. Oh, they don't want to hear that, but it's the truth. At least that's the truth in my experience dealing with them. They're very self-involved people. They are people that do not have the ability, for whatever reason, to get their minds off themselves. And even when they think about somebody else, it doesn't last long. Before long, it comes back to themselves. Again, you can say, you know, I got my arm cut off. And they'll say, yeah, you know, last week my finger hurt. That's the way they think. It all comes back to them. I got my leg cut off. Yeah, I had a headache last week. It always has to come back to them. And if you live that way, where you're just always thinking about self, you're going to be miserable. I mean, how can you not be miserable if that's all you think about is me, self? So God help us to learn to deny ourselves. God help us, most of all, to identify selfishness in ourselves. Again, it's easy to see in someone else. We can all see it. We can all point it out. You can see all the ways that I'm selfish. I can see all the ways that you're selfish. I mean, it's easy. But we need to look at ourselves and see our own selfishness. And then at that time, we'll be ready to serve the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.